Today's daf is Erev and Daf Nun Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, a new perek, the fifth perek of Masechtas Erevin, perek Ketzad Ma'abrin. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza and Avadia ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. Zok the Mishnah, Ketzad Ma'abrin Es Ha'orim. When determining exactly where the city ends, so that you can now determine the tchum of the city. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Ma'abrin Esa'arim. Meaning, what would be if you have a house that's protruding out towards the outer part of the houses, a little bit more than everything else? So do you work around that? So the question is, if every city ended as a perfect line, it would be easy to determine the borders of the city. But assuming that they don't, and that's often the case, how exactly are you supposed to determine exactly where the city begins and ends? So the Mishnah says, bayis nichnas, bayis yotze, in the event that you have a house that's sticking out a little bit, and sticking in a little bit, pigum nichnas, pigum yotze. Or if you have a tower that's sticking out a little bit and sticking in a little bit, hayusham kidudi yotze kvayis asar tfachim. Or if there were ruins that were 10 tfachim tall, ugsharim, if there was a bridge, unafashois, there were matzevois that you put on top of kvarim, sheish ben beis dira, assuming they have a beis dira, says the Mishnah, maitzien es hamida kinegda. What we do is, we extend the outer part of the city parallel to this house that's sticking out, to this tower that's sticking out, these ruins that are on the outside part of the city, this bridge, this matzeva, meaning the city begins and ends, that point is to the outer part of these structures, says the Mishnah. The oisin oisin kemin tavla mirubas kideshi yehei niskares azovia. So you draw a line where this outer house is. Additionally, you square it off. The purpose of squaring it off, similar to one of the mishnayos that we had in the previous parak, is that you should get the corners. So basically, you draw a line where the house that's sticking out the most is sticking out until. You square it off so that you get the corners, and that's the point where the city begins and ends. Either way, the perek begins on a very technical Erevin note. However, it's going to make an immediate digression, literally immediate, and it's going to bring us to Dafin of much deserved Agadat Gemara. Zok de Gemara. Rabu Shmuel. So the name of the perek is Ketzad Ma'abrin. And loosely translated, what it's referring to is a house or a structure that's protruding a little bit from the rows of houses that makes up the outer part of the city. But the Mishnah used the word Ma'abrin to describe this phenomena. So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel, there was Machloik, this Rav and Shmuel, Chatani Ma'abrin. One said that the right Girsa of the Mishnah is Ma'abrin with an Ayin. The Chatani Ma'abrin. And the other one said the right Girsa is Ma'abrin with an Aleph. So the Gemara, Ma'atani Ma'abrin. The one that had the Girsa Ma'abrin, the reason he thought the word is Ma'abrin, it's Miloshin Aver Aver. It's Miloshin Alin. So this one house that's sticking out a little bit is like one aver of a goof that may be sticking out. The point is, it's Miloshin aver, hence the word is ma'abrin mitan aleph. Ma'adatani ma'abrin, and the one that had the girsa ma'abrin, it's ke'isha ubara, just like a woman that's pregnant, so obviously the uber is sticking out, so in that same vein, ma'abrin with an ayin would seem to depict the same point. Either way, it was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. What the right gerus in the Mishnah is? Is it ma'abrim with an aleph or is it ma'abrim with an aleph? Says the Gemara. That, no. We have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, exactly what the word in the Mishnah is. So the Gemara is going to bring other machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel. Ma'ara samach pelo. The ma'ara samach pelo. Rav and Shmuel was machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar once said, shnei batim zelif nimizet. That the way the ma'ara samach pelo was structured, it was made up of two rooms. And one room was lifnim from the other room. There was an outer room and there was an inner room. B'chadam, and the other one said, Bayis v'aliyah al-gabav, that the Ma'ara Samach Pelah was made up of two rooms, but it wasn't like an outer room and an inner room, but rather it was a two-story structure. There was a bayis and an aliyah, a second floor that was on top of it. Bishlam, the mandam al-gav zeh. Bishlam, according to mandam, that says that it was two stories. Hainu Machpelah. So I understand why it was called Ma'ara Samach Pelah. It was doubled. What was doubled? It was two stories. But according to mandam, that says that there was an outer room and an inner room, Maimach Machpelah? What's the Lashon Machpelah? Sagt die Gemara, Shekfula Bezuga. So it was called Machpelah because there were many Zugais, there were couples, there were peers of people that were buried in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, as the Gemara is about to explain. The Ma'aras HaMachpelah is referred to as being in Mamre, which is Kiryas Arba. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, why Kiryas Arba? Kiryas HaArba Zugais, because it's the place where there were four Zugais that lived. Adam V'Chava, Avram V'Sara, Yitzchak V'Rivka, and Yaakov V'Leah. Either way, Machloik is Rav and Shmuel as to the physical nature of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. There were definitely two rooms. The question is, was there an outer room and an inner room, but they were both on the same level? Or was it a first floor and a second floor on two different levels? Says the Gemara, if it was a first and a second floor, the reason it was called Ma'aras HaMachpelah because it was double, that's the two floors. If it was all on one floor, so why would it be called Ma'aras HaMachpelah? Must be, it's not because of the two stories, but rather it's Ma'aras HaMachpelah because of the Zugais that were buried. How many Zugais? Kiryas HaArba. Who were the four Zugais? We all know. Adam and Chav, Avram v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leah. Another machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. Vayihi b'mei Amraphel. So it was in the times of Amraphel. Who was Amraphel? Nimrod. Says the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, there was machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Meaning you find that Nimrod was called Nimrod, and you find that Nimrod, like in this pasuk, was called Amraphel. So Rav and Shmuel argued about which was his real name. Chadam once said Nimrod Shmuel. His real name was Nimrod. Why was it called Amraphel? Because Nimrod was famous for having Avram Avinu thrown into a Kivshana Esh. So the word Amraphel is an acronym. Amar V'hippel L'Avram Avinu B'teich Kivshana Esh. V'chadam Adolam Adolam said no. Amraphel Shmai. Really his name was Amraphel. V'adam Adikush Shmai Nimrod. Why was it called Nimrod? Shehimrid Eskol La'ilam Kuloi Olam B'machusa. Because he caused the whole world, the Daraflaga, to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, another machlaik is Rav and Shmuel. One said one way, the other one said the other way. We don't know what. It's with regards to something technical. What was Nimrod's real name? We find Nimrod referred to as Nimrod. We find him referred to as Amraphel. Was his name Nimrod, but was called Amraphel? Was his name Amraphel, but he was called Nimrod? Another pasuk. Vayakam Melech Chadosh al Mitzrayim. In the beginning of Parsha Shmoy. So in the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu and his family come to Mitzrayim, and it seems like they were respected. Yosef was the Mishnah Lamelech, and the Yidden were given a land, Goshen, and they had Parnassa. Everything seemed to go really, really well. And then, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the narrative changes completely. And the Torah prefaces this change with Vayoka Melech Chadosh. So Rav and Shmuel argued, Chadam one said, Chadosh Mamish. It was literally a new king. The Chadam, the other one said, no, it was the same old Paroi. However, Shenishachu Gizei Roisav. But he was new in the sense that he had new policies. Suddenly, his policies changed. So he shifted in terms of his geopolitics, and specifically as relates to how to deal with the Jews. The man that says that he was literally a new king, it says Chadosh. That's what Chadosh usually means. Why would you say that? Because it doesn't say anything about the previous Paroi dying. So I had to mention the previous Paroi dying. Okay, then obviously this is a new king. But it doesn't say Vayomas Vayimlech, so it sounds a little bit like it was the same king. It says Chadosh must be Nischachu Gzei Roisav. He came with a new perspective in terms of how to treat the Jews. Man Domesh Nischachu Gzei Roisav. Faith in Gemara. How could a man Domesh say Nischachu Gzei Roisav? Haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef? Says he didn't know Yosef. Vayakam Melech Chadosh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. So how do you explain Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef? It's a new king. Okay, he didn't know Yosef. He came after Yosef's times. But if this is the old Paro, he had a relation. He hired Yosef. Yosef was the one who appeased him when he had a dream, and he was the one that turned Mitzrayim into the center of the world with his business advice. So, L'chura, how could the pasuk say, Asher lo yada es Yosef? So the Gemara says, my Asher lo yada es Yosef, to have a dummy command lo yada le Yosef call. He acted as if he didn't know Yosef. Of course he knew Yosef. Sheinemali knew Yosef, but he was a kafi taif. He acted as if he didn't know Yosef. Either way, so we begin with Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, and an immediate digression. What was the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel? The Mishnah says, Ketzad Ma'abrin Es Ha'arin. We're talking about a house or a structure of some sorts that's protruding beyond the row of houses that make up the city limit. And the Mishnah said the word ma'abrin, and there was machlokes is Rav and Shmuel had to spell the word. Is it ma'abrin with an ayin, or is it ma'abrin with an aleph? Is it ma'abrin with an ayin miloshin an isha that's a mu'uberes, or is it ma'abrin with an aleph miloshin ever? It was machlokes Rav and Shmuel. One said one way, the other one said the other way. The Gemara doesn't say who said what, but because we mentioned the machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding a word. A word in a Mishnah, Ma'abrin, where one said one way and one said the other way, so we digress a little bit. Ma'aras HaMachpelah, why was it called Machpelah? What was the physical structure of Ma'aras HaMachpelah? Vayhi b'mei Amraphel. Amraphel's Nimrod. Was his name Amraphel? Who was his name? Nimrod. And finally, Vayaka Melech Hadash. Was this a literally a new king, or was this the same old Parai who we know from the end of Sefer Bereshis? He was called Chadash, Shen Ischatshuk Seiroi. So we'll get back to this a little bit later. Simin Shmoyne Esrei, Vishneim Asar, Lomadnu Bedavid Vayivan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yudches, Yomim Gidalti Eitz Rabbi Shaya Berebi. I spent 18 days by Rabbi Shaya Beribi. For Lomadati Mimenu Eladavarech, the Mishnah saying. I learned only one thing. And the one thing that I learned was from our Mishnah. What did he learn? Ketzad Ma'abrin Esa'arim Ba'alef. That the way he's supposed to spell the word Ma'abrin is not with an ayin, but rather it's with an aleph. It's Miloshin Everever. Amy, Freit the Gemara, is that true? Rabbi Yochanan spent 18 days by Rabbi Shaya Beribi, and all he learned was one thing. Rabbi Yochanan said, Yudhes Tamidim Hoylod, Rabbi Shaya Beribi. Shaya Beribi had 12 Tamidim. For Yudhes Yom Gidalti Minim, and I spent 18 days with them, like he just said. For Lomadati, and when I was there for those 18 days, I learned Lev Kol Echad Ve'Echad. I learned what was in the hearts of all one of these Talmidim. The Chachmas Kol Echad Ve'Echad. And I learned the wisdom of all of them. Freit the Gemara. Lev Kol Echad Ve'Echad. The Chachmas Kol Echad Ve'Echad Gomar. And Gemara Loi Gomar. If he was able to understand and psychoanalyze these 12 Talmidim, if he was able to understand the Chachma of all these Talmidim, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that all he learned was a Dabar Echad? That the way you read the Mishnah is not Ketza Ma'abrim with an Ayin, but rather it's Ketza Ma'abrim with an Aleph. How's that possible? He spent 18 days with the 12 Talmidim. He learned what was in the Lev of Kol Echad Ve'Echad and the Chachm of Kol Echad Ve'Echad. But he only learned one halacha. Doesn't seem to add up. So the Gemara says, you could say one of two things. Iba Yaseima Minayu Didu Gomar Mineh. But Minei Didei Loi Gomar. Meaning from the Talmidim, yeah, he learned a lot. He learned what was in the Lev of Kol Echad Ve'Echad, and he learned the Chachm of Kol Echad Ve'Echad. But as it relates to learning from Rabbi Shaya Beribi himself, he only learned one thing. He learned Ketzah Ma'abrim Etan Aleph. Iba Yaseim Adavar Echad Benishnaseinu Kamar. Meaning Rashi says he learned prices and he learned Gemaras. But as far as Mishnayos goes, he learned one thing in the Mishnah. And what was the one thing that he learned from Mishnah? It was this halacha of our Mishnah. For Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, you know, learned in Torah Eitz Rabbi Shaya. When we were learning Torah by Rabbi Shaya, Rabbi Yochanan, Yoichvin Arba Bamo, we used to sit four in an Amo. So literally, four people were in one Amo. Amar Rabbi said, you know, learned in Torah Eitz Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. We used to learn Torah by Rabbi Lazman Shemua, you know, Yoish and Shisha Shishabama. We would sit six people in an Amma. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Again, this is all things that Rabbi Yochanan is saying over from Rabbi Shaya Beribi. He said that Rabbi Shaya Beribi Bedoiroi was Kurameya Bedoiroi. Rabbi Shaya Beribi was similar to Rabbi Meir. How so? My Rabbi Meir Bedoiroi, La Yachlu Chaver of Lamed Al Soif Daitai. Just like Rabbi Meir, his Chaverim weren't able to be Omed Al Soif Daitai, as in what we learned earlier in Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, which is the reason that we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. Afra b'shaya lo yachlu chaveir lamed al soif daitoy. So he said Rabbi Shaya was the same that way. Lo yachlu chaveir lamed al soif daitoy. He was someone that it was impossible to really understand. I guess that's why Rabbi Yochanan only learned a davar echad. Meaning, why did he learn only a davar echad? He spent 18 days by Rabbi Shaya Berebi, and all he learned was a davar echad because he was like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was lo yachlu chaveir lamed al soif daitoy. Maybe that's the pshat. Rabbi Shaya Beribi was the same day. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan continued, and he said, "Liban shel rishonim kepischoy shel ulam." The lave of the rishonim was similar to the opening of the ulam, which was very, very large. V'shal achroinim, the lave of the achroinim was kepischoy shel heichal. It was like the opening of the heichal. V'anu, what about us? Kimole nekev machat sitkis. Ours is like the hole that you would have if you had a little needle. Meaning, if you stuck a little needle, you would have a little hole. That's the size of our heart. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan was saying this, you read this Hadairis. The lev of the Rishonim was Kepischoy Shalulam. The lev of the Achroinim was like the Pesach of the Hechel. Our heart is so small, it's Kemaloi Nekev Machat Sikdis. And he went ahead to explain who were the Rishonim and who were the Achroinim. Rishonim, Rabbi Akiva. Achroinim, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. Ikadami, some say Rishonim, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Achroinim, Rabbi Shaya Beribi, Va'anu, and as far as us, Kimloi Nekev Machat Sidkis, meaning we're literally like the size of an eye of a needle. Amar Abaya, Abaya said a little bit differently. Va'anan, and we today are Kisiksa Beguda Ligamar. We try to understand the Sfaras, so getting us to understand the Sfaras, getting us to put the Sfaras into our head is like taking a peg and trying to stick it into a wall. Amar Rava, Rava had a different marshal. Va'anan, he said, for us to understand learning is Ked. It's like taking your finger and putting it into wax. Ravashi had it a little bit differently. He said, "Anan is ki etzbata bebira l'shikha." For us, it's like taking a finger and putting it into a pit. Regardless, the Gemara just mentioned several things that Rabbi Yochanan said about Rabbi Shaya Beribi. So Rabbi Shaya Beribi was someone that Rabbi Yochanan had a tremendous amount of respect for. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan compared him to Rabbi Meir. He said Rabbi Shaya Beribi ki Meir was Bedaira was like Rabbi Meir Bedaira. To compare somebody to Rabbi Meir is obviously the ultimate compliment. So Rabbi Shaya Beribi was like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shaya Beribi was hard to understand. Rabbi Yochanan said Yud Ches Yomim Gidalti Yetz Rabbi Shaya Beribi V'Loyim Lamadeti Menu Elodaver Echad. I was only able to understand one thing. Additionally, when Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the concept of your so he said the Rishonim were Kepischoi Shal Ulam and the Achroinim were Kepischoi Shal Hechel. So who were the Rishonim and who were the Achroinim? So on one Girsa, the Rishonim was Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua and the Achroinim were Rabbi Shaya Beribi. Incidentally, Rabbi Shaya is referred to as Rabbi Shaya Beribi. So what does Beribi mean? What is Beribi? It's Midlashen Rebbe. Rebbe usually you find as a prefix to a name, Rabbi Shaya Beribi. So Rashi says, "Dibra Maskel Shaya Beribi Adam Gadol Bedayroi." The Chol Hecha the Kari Beribi Hachi Perushoi. So Adam Gadol Bedayroi. Beribi was this ultimate compliment that a person can get. So it's consistent. This is the idea of Rabbi Shaya Beribi. Either way, why do we just talk about Rabbi Shaya Beribi? Tucked away Masechtas Erev in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, because Rabbi Yochanan said he spent 18 days there and he learned one thing there. What was the one thing? That when you learn the Mishnah and it says, Ketzad Ma'abrin Es Ha'arin, so how do you read the word Ma'abrin? It's not Ma'abrin with an Ayin, Miloshen Isha Muberes, but rather it's Ma'abrin with an Aleph, as in Miloshen Ever, Zok de Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Nei Yehuda, Shehikpidu Al Lashoinam. The people in Yehuda, the Judean part of Eretz Yisrael, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, they were very careful when they talked. And because of that, they're very particular when it came to speech. And it's for that reason they had a kiyum in their Torah. But the people that lived in the Galil portion of Eretz Yisrael, they weren't so makbid al l'shoinam. So they didn't have such success in retaining their learning. So Rabbi Yehuda Amarav observed that the Yidden that lived in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, in Judea, they were more matzliach in learning than the people that lived in the Galil, that lived in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. And Rav said, what's the reason for it? So he said, I think the reason is because the people in Yehuda, they're makbid al l'shoinam. They're a little bit more particular with the way they talk. Whereas the people in the Galil, they're not so makbid al l'shoinam. And it's because of that, I think they're less successful in learning. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Why? What should be the reason for that? People that are more particular in the way they talk are going to be more successful in learning. So the Gemara tweaks it a little bit. Elo, b'nei Yehuda, didaiki lishna. The people of Yehuda, they were more precise when they talk. Meaning, when they heard something from their Rebbe, they were more meticulous in terms of giving it over verbatim, exactly the way they heard it. And it's for that reason, here's the punchline, umisnachi lohu simano. It was easier for them to make simonim for the teachings that they were giving over. So they were transmitting Messiah, Teresh Baal Peh, things that they had heard. And being that they were a little bit more accurate in terms of remembering exactly the way it was taught, so it was easier for them to make Simonim. Oh, being that they had Simonim, Niskaim U'Torah Samiyadam. That's why their Torah had a kiyum. B'nei Galil D'Loi Daiki Lishnu. But the people in the Galil, who weren't as careful in terms of being mekabel exactly what they heard from their Rebbe and giving it over in that exact lashon is v'loy misnachelu simano. They weren't able to assign the simanim, and it's for that reason that's why their Torah didn't have such a kiyum. So what does being precise with language have to do with kiyum in Torah, it's not so much the language, it's the simonim. At the end of the day, if you're able to make simonim, you're going to be successful in your learning. If you're not going to make simonim, you're not going to be successful in learning. What does simonim mean? The idea of simonim is to be able to remember your learning. Meaning, obviously, chazara, but at the same time, there's also a concept of creating certain tricks and ways for a person to be able to remember his learning. And one of the things that people used to do is they used to make simonim. We just had a simon now. Simon Shmoina Asar Vishne Masar Lamadnu Bidavid Vayivin. Right? What was the simon? Shmoina Asar was referring to the 18 days the Rabbi Yochanan spent by Rabbi Shai Berebi. The Shnei Masar were the 12 Talmidim. Lamadnu is when he was talking about we used to sit 4 to an Amma, 6 to an Amma. Either way, these simonim are meant for us to remember. Oh, Rabbi Shai Berebi is mentioned in Erev and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. How am I supposed to remember all the things that were mentioned about Rabbi Shai Berebi? Okay, so if you remember, you remember. And Chazar obviously helps. But at the same time, there's also a concept of making a simon. But in order to make a simon, apparently you have to be a little bit more precise with the teachings. You can't just have an idea of what these teachings are. You have to know them more precisely to be able to make the simon. In Yehuda, they were precise. They were able to make simonim. The point is, it was the simonim that got them to where they got to go. Additionally, why was it that the people in Yehuda were more matzliach than the people in the Galil? But Yehuda gomer mechad rab. The people in Yehuda used to learn from one rebbe, and as a result, neskay meteirasim biyadim. But in Galil, the people in the Galil, the loy gomer mechad rab, they didn't learn from one rebbe. Loy neskay meteirasim biyadim. They didn't have such a kiyum because they learned from many rebbeim. They got a little more tzemish. Ravina, but Ravina says bnei Yehuda galu mesechta. The people in Yehuda that were galu mesechta neskay. So what does galu mesechta mean? Rashi says tup shatim. One pshat Rashi says galu mesechta lomdu lacher. They used to teach other people. So in Yehuda they used to teach, and because they used to teach mitalmida yoisa mikulon, so they were zoicha. Their Torah had more of a kiyum. We're going to see more about this in tomorrow's daf. Another pshat Rashi says is galu mesechta. They used to uncover the secrets of the Torah that they were learning. They delved into understanding the svara a little bit better. Either way, they went into it a little bit more be'iyun, and it's for that reason they had a kiyum. So the Bnei Yehuda, number one, they spoke more clearly. They were able to make simonim, neskay meteirasim biyadam. The Bnei Galil, they were loy daiki b'lishna. As a result, they couldn't make simonim, loy neskay meteirasim biyadam. Additionally, the Bnei Yehuda had one rebbe, neskay meteirasim biyadam. The Bnei Galil had many rabbeim neskay biyadam. And then finally, the Bnei Yehuda, they were galu mesechta. We have two pshatim what that means. The Bnei Galil were loy galu mesechta. It's up to Gemara. That no, David galu mesechta. David HaMelech, he was megalu mesechta. And the David, the galu mesechta, Shaul loy galu mesechta. Shaul wasn't megalu mesechta. David galu mesechta, the chsiv. It says Yireyocha Yeruni v'Yismachu. David HaMelech said that the people that fear you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see me and they're besimcha. They're besimcha with my Torah. David HaMelech was Hashem Imoy Shalacha Kemoisa. Shaul the Galim Masechta. What does it say about Shaul HaMelech? Who bechol Hasheyifna Yarshia? That what does it mean Yarshia? Rashi Loihoyu Zoicha Lohiras Kalacha. Shaul HaMelech wasn't Zoicha Lohiras Halacha. What was the difference? David HaMelech was Galim Masechta, and Shaul HaMelech was loy galu mesecht again. Hopefully more about this tomorrow. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Minayin shemach lei Kadosh Baruch Hu aloysi oven." How do you know? So we mentioned Shaul HaMelech. So the Gemara says, "How do you know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave Shaul for that avera?" So what was that avera? What's that avera with the hey idea that Shaul HaMelech did? So Rashi says it's referring to noiv irak koyanim. Shenema, we know because what happened when Shaul HaMelech went to the Balas Oiv, he was going to have to fight a war against the Plishtim, and he wanted to know if he was going to be successful. And during the Tum, nobody wanted to give him an answer. So finally he said, I'm going to go to my Rebbe, I'm going to go to Shmuel HaNavi, I'm going to see from Shmuel HaNavi what's going to be. So he goes to a Balas Oiv, and he summons the neshama of Shmuel, and Shmuel tells Shaul, Machar, tomorrow, Ata Uvanecha Imi. Right, Shmuel told Shaul, I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is you're going to die at war. This is not going to end in a good way. But the good news is, you and your sons are going to be with me. What does with me mean? And we know Shmuel HaNelech was, Shmuel HaNavi was Shakul Kamaish and Ahar. So if Shaul was Zoicha to be Imi Bimchitzasi together with Shmuel, what does that mean? It means that the Eibishter forgave Shaul HaMelech for the Avera of Noiv Irak Koyanim. Zok de Gemara. Amar Ab Abba. This is all me inyan le inyan, very much ba'isa inyan. The daiki lishni, if someone asks the people of Yehuda, who are very medayik in their lashon, like we just saw. That was one of the reasons we said that the Bnei Yehuda, it was neskamit terasim biyadim, because they were dayik belishnei. As a result, they were able to make simanim. So he says, if you ask someone from Yehuda, ma'abrin tanan, or ma'abrin tanan? When it says ma'abrin in the Mishnah, is with an aleph or with an ayin? Or akuzu tanan, or akruzu tanan? That's a word in the Mishnah, Masechtas Becharis. Is it akuzu with an aleph, or is it akuzu with an ayin? Yadi, they're going to know. Because they're very surprised. The Gemara says, shalinu va'amri leis, he said, they asked the people of Yehuda. So Rabbi was the one that said this. He said, I'm telling you, you want to know the right word in the Mishnah, go ask somebody from Yehuda. So they went, they asked someone from Yehuda. They said, ikudatani ma'abrin, ikudatani ma'abrin. He said, there's two opinions. This was the answer. And what about the other Mishnah? Akuzu with an aleph, with an ayin? He said the same thing. Ikudatani akuzu mitan aleph, the ikudatuna akuzu, and some said akuzu with an ayin. Incidentally, one thing you see is that, I mean, the Gemara is making a big deal about, you know, akuzu with an aleph or akuzu with an ayin. The truth is that the pronunciation of a word is different if it's spelled with an aleph or if it's spelled with an ayin. And really, ground zero for that, I mean, ground zero is Shema, right? The way you say Shema. But another classic example from a Gemara anyways is Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. These people were not allowed to duchav. They were kehanim, or they weren't allowed to daven for the yomer even. And the reason is, they mix it up. Instead of an aleph, they say an ayin, and instead of an ayin, they say an aleph. So you see clearly that you have to be very careful. And Rashi says, so what if you mix up an aleph and an ayin? No, Rashi says, bad things can come. If you say, Yair Hashem, Ponevelecha, and it comes out like an ayin as opposed to an aleph, either way, ayin Rashi. But the point is there's a different pronunciation with an aleph and with an ayin. But I guess it's very, very subtle. And that's why, even though the Mishnayos were transmitted, but it was very unclear, is this with an aleph or is this with an ayin? But the real truth is that the Bnei Yehuda are right, that in diktuk, there is a difference between saying a word with an aleph or saying a word with an ayin, so much so that there's a halacha. Megillah daf chav dalet amud beis. He's not allowed to allow a person to daven for the yomer, or if he's a kohen, he's not allowed to duchen if he doesn't know how to clearly articulate the difference between an aleph or with an ayin. Zok de gemara. Bnei Yehuda daiki lishnei mayi. Give an example of someone that's from Yehuda who is very medayik belishna. Zok de gemara. I'll give you a mashal. Who by Yehuda damer luhu? There was a person from Yehuda who said talis yeshli limkar. As he was walking around, he says, "I have a talis to sell." Amalei said, "The people, the kohenim asked him, my gavin taliska, what color is your talis?" Amalei he told them, it's the same color as beets while they're on the ground. Meaning he was so precise in terms of defining the color. It's the color of beets, but beets while they're on the ground. What's an example of someone from the Galil that's not very careful with the way he talks? So the Gemara says, there was a person from the Galil that was walking around and he was saying, Amar Leman, Amar Leman, meaning who wants to buy Amar? Amrule. So the Chevra went to him and they said, Glilo Shoita, you foolish Galilean. What are you trying to sell? Amar. What do you mean? You have a donkey? Miloshin Chamar? Chamar? Oy chamar lemishti. Maybe you mean chamra. Chamra is wine. Amar lemilbash. Or maybe you mean it with an ayin, not with a ches. And you mean amar with an ayin, which is wool. Oy amar leskasa. Or maybe imar, which is a sheep. And you're selling a sheep. I mean, they weren't sure if this person was selling a donkey, he was selling wine, he was selling wool, or he was selling a sheep, because he was a glilas. He wasn't so careful. He wasn't so medaktik in the way he spoke. The people from Yehuda, they were very medaktik. The people from the Galil weren't so medaktik. He itza, the Bible, there was a woman who was talking to her friend, and she wanted to say, Toy du uchli chelpa. Come, let me give you some chelif. I want to give you some fat. However, again, she wasn't so precise with her speech. She was from the Galil. So Amr Allah, she told her, Shleichti, my friend, toichli chlovya. May a lion eat you. Okay. There was a woman that had to stand in front of a judge. Amrule, and she was coming to tell the judge that her tavla with a test, her tablet was stolen. But instead of saying tavla, what she ended up saying, or what it sounded like she was saying, was tafla. A tafla is a beam. The point is, this is the way it came out. So she's standing in front of the judge, and she tells the judge as follows. Murray Kiri. My master slave, talking to the judge. Tafla havasli, I had a beam. Veganvuth min, and they stole you from me. She wanted to say that tavla was stolen from me. Instead, I had a beam and they stole you from me, whatever that means. Ukedu havas, and it was the kadshadru lachilave, that when they hang you on that beam that they stole you from me, like mati karicha ari, your feet aren't even going to reach the ground. Either way, the judge listened to all this, wasn't very pleased with what he heard, and the point is, you have to be careful with the way you speak. Amos the Rebbe, the maidservant in Rebbe's house, Kavin Mishtaba Lasha Chachma, when she wanted to speak in a clever way, Amra Hachi, she would say as follows. So the Marsha says that the maidservant of Rebbe, she didn't want to like tell the Talmidim that it's time to leave, or maybe they should stay longer. It wasn't her place to do that. So she spoke b'derech chachma so that the Talmidim will understand whether it's a situation of kol macha oimelach balabayis hasei chutz mitzei, or to the contrary, she wants them to stay a little bit longer. So she would say as follow, olas nokfas pikad. She would say, I hear the ladle hitting the bottom of the barrel. Yidun nishraya l'kineyon. The eagles should go back to their nests. Meaning, there's no more wine, the party's over, it's time to go home. When she wanted them to stay, so again, she would speak with a mashal. She would say, "Hava amr luhu yadi basa chaverta mina." A piece of her friend should be removed from her. Meaning, I'm going to remove another cork from a bottle of wine, v'siskefe alas pikad ki ulvadazas b'yom. And when I put the ladle inside this barrel of wine, it's going to float the way a ship floats at sea. Meaning, the party is continuing. Rabbi Yossi bar Yassin, kevim shloi b'lashon chachma, or is bar Yassin, when he wanted to speak b'lashon chachma, when he wanted to talk in a clever way so that people shouldn't fully understand exactly what it is he's saying. So, the specific example is, when he wanted beets with mustard, so he wanted tardin and chardal. This is what he would say. Asuli shar b'mishpat betur miskein. So shar b'mishpat is tardin. Tardin are beets, or tradin are beets. Tar is shar, and din is mishpat. Betur miskein is chardal. Chardal is har, char is har, right? The hay and the ches, char. So this is a mountain dal, is a poor mantle. And when he wanted to ask his innkeeper how he's doing, so instead of specifically asking the innkeeper how he's doing, so he would say, Gvar pum dein chai, the man of this mouth is alive. So what does that have to do with anything? So Rashi and Tosfos both say different shatim, but the point is the word ushpiza, Rashi says, ushpiza is ish pi zeh. Ish is man, P is mouth, Zev this, Mazu Toiva, you know, how's everything? Rabbi Vo, Kevin Mishlei, B'Lashon Chachma, Hava Amar Hachi. Rabbi Vo, when he would speak B'Lashon Chachma, again, when he wanted to say something and talk in a riddle, so he would say as follows, Asrigu Lipchonen. He said, make the coals look like an estrig. What he meant to say was that he wanted the coals to be burning. They should be glowing like an estrig. Arkiu Lizahoven, spread out the gold, meaning spread the coals out so that they're going to glow as if they were gold. Vasilu shnei magide ba'alata, and make me prepare two roosters for me. Ikedamri samsa v'yasu ben shnei magide ba'alata, that you should roast the two roosters on the coals. Amar le'Rabbanu le'Rabbavo, hatzpinenu hechem Rab Eloi tzofen. Can you tell us where Rabbi Eloi is? Apparently Rabbi Eloi didn't come to Beis Medrash. So the Rabbanu went to Rabbi Eloi and they asked him, where's Rabbi Eloi? See, he didn't answer them straight. He answered in a riddle. Amar lo, he told them, Olat spinairo. He said, Olatz is a lashon of simcha. He was besimcha together with a nara, with a young woman. Aharoinis, she's from a family of kayhanim, yiloshen aharoin. Aharoinis, she's the last or the latest. Aharoinis, she's alive. The hinartai, and she kept him up late, and that's why he didn't come to Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim weren't 100% sure how to understand, how to interpret what Rabbi Avoh said. So again, the Chachamim went to Rabbi Avoh, they said, where's Rabbi Eloi? So he answered them with a mashal. So Amri Lassam said, Isha, he was referring to a woman, that this was a woman, and they had just gotten married, and as a result, this is what he was referring to. But Amri Lassam said, no, Masechta. He was referring to a Masechta. Rashi says, if this was a Masechta, so okay, Naira, we're describing as a mesechta, al tikri mayrasha ela meurasa eironis. Yeah, the mesechta could be geshmak. It can keep a person up at night. But what is aroinis? What does it have to do with aharoin? So Rashi says maybe it was seder kachim. Seder kachim deals with all the halacha is that are negei or kayhanim. So maybe we're dealing with seder kachim. Amidol Rabbi Eloi. So they once asked Rabbi Eloi, "Hatzpinen hechem Rabbi Avo?" It's often, where's Rabbi Avo? So in the first Gemara, they asked Rabbi Avoh, where's Rabbi Eloi? The second Gemara, they asked Rabbi Eloi, where's Rabbi Avoh? Amar Lemsi, he told him, Nisya'itz b'machter. He took advice from the machter, that's the Nasi, he's the one that wears the crown. They hingiv l'mipi boishas, and he sent them down south to Mipi Boishes. Mipi Boishes was a very wise man, so he went to go learn by the Chacham and by the wise men in the south. Either way, he went down south. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. One last Gemara. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, as in Stam Rabbi Yeshua, as in Rabbi Eliezer's Bal Plukta in Shas, was also a great debater. And you find many Gemaras where Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya took on some minim and apikarsim, and sometimes it was in the presence of the Roman Empire. The Gemara is in the beginning of Masechtas Becheiros, the sugis of the Chachmei Aduna, and this was something that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya did. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said that there was never a time where any person defeated me in any verbal argument, in any debate. Mi yomai vay netzchani yadam, chutz mi isha, tinoik v'tinoikes. Except for three times. A woman, a little boy and a little girl. They all got the better of me in this verbal exchange. Ishamai, what was the story with this woman? Who was this woman that somehow got the last word with the great Rabbi Yeshua? Said I was once staying at an inn. Asli Poilin and the hostess over there said she made beans for me. And I finished all the beans. Shnia, the second day, she made me the same food. And again, I didn't leave anything over. And the third day, she put too much salt. And because she put too much salt, it tasted burnt. I couldn't eat it. Kimin shatamti, mashach the other man, I tasted it, and I couldn't eat it. Amr Ali, she asked me, Rebbe, b'nam ma'en chasayid, why aren't you eating today? Amarti la, I told her, k'fasa adati me'bayid yam, he says, no, I ate already, I'm full, I'm not hungry. Amr Ali, so she told me, hayu l'chol limshoiz, limshoiz yotchem and apatim, why are we eating bread? I noticed you're eating bread. Doesn't look like you ate too much for lunch. For some reason, you have an issue with the beans. Be honest with me. What's wrong with the beans? So the Gemara says, Amr Ali, so she told me, Rebbe, maybe the issue is you realize that you didn't leave over a little portion the first 2 days. This was the third time this woman had served Rabbi Shulman Chananya beans. And the first two times, Rabbi Shulman Chananya said, I ate it 100%. I left nothing over. And the truth is, proper etiquette is to leave a little over. Who for who? For the Masharsim. But the point is, he didn't leave any over. And she was basically saying that I noticed. He said, but like, didn't the Chachamim say, you're not supposed to leave anything over in the pot, but on your plate, you're supposed to leave a little something over. So maybe the reason you're leaving all this over is because you have to make up for what you left over the night before and the night before that. Either way, Rabbi Shulman Chananya said, I had this conversation with this woman that was serving me my dinner, and she got the better of me. So Rabbi Shulman Chananya said, I was able to go up against the Chachmei Atuna and all the Kaifim and the Minim. This Gemara is scattered throughout Shas that talk about how Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a savior for Klal Yisrael. He used this Koyach HaDibur to bail the Yidden out of a lot of situations. He said, but this woman who served him beans, you know, she got the last words. Look, Tinoikis, my, what was the story with the Tinoikis? Yeshua said, I was once walking down a road. And this path that I was walking down, it went through a field. I was walking. A little girl came by and said, Rabbi, this is a field. It's a private field, maybe. How do you know you're allowed to walk here? A mantelus, I told the lady, he says, no, this is a, take a look. He says, how could this be private? Look how many people walk here. Look, you could see from the field itself, from the path, that it's not private. Amrali, she said, just because you see a lot of people walk here is a raya that it's not private. Maybe listim kamaisach kavshu. Maybe there's a lot of listim like you that do the same thing. They trespass. They walk on other people's property. Just because it looks worn out and it looks used doesn't necessarily mean that it's not private. And Rabbi Shulman Chananya said, I had nothing to say. So this Tinoikis, this little girl, again, she was able to stump the great Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Tinoik, my, what was there with the Tinoik? Pamach zizim alech b'der. Shua ben Chananya said, again, I was once traveling. Isi Tinoik yoyich v'aprasha jochen. And I came to the fork in the road. And there was a little child there. V'amarti le, I said, be'ez aderech ne lech loyer. Tell me, I want to go to the city. He said, how am I supposed to go to the city? Amali, so he told me like this. Zug tzara varucha. Pointed to one side. He said, this is short and it's long. Meaning, this, it's short and it's long, this road. V'zu, and the other one is arucha v'ktzar. It's long and it's short. Nu, halachti b'tzara varucha. I assume the one that's short, it just sounded shorter. So that was the one I went on. Kibin Shigati Le'ir. I came to the city. I mean, it was a very short trip. I was able to see the city. I was able to touch it. But the problem is, I was separated by Ganes and Pardesim. It was surrounded by gardens, and there was no way to get there. Chazarti L'Achares. I turned around. Amarti Le'bni. Halei Amarti Le'Ktzara. You told me it's short. What were you saying? So the Gemara Amar Li, so he told me, didn't I also tell you it was Arucha? That's what I meant. I meant it's short. Yeah, it's very, the distance between here and the city is very, very short. But if you go there, it's going to be long, because you're going to go, you're going to realize you can't get through it. You're gonna, it's a dead end street. You're gonna have to come back. You're gonna make a U turn. It's gonna end up taking a lot longer. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shua said, "Neshakti val roisha." I kissed him on his head. V'amarti lo, and I told him, "Ashreichem Yisrael, shekulchem chachamim gedolim atem. You all chachamim gedolim. Migdolchem vad ktanchem." The gedolim and even the children. You see, this is a Yiddish cup. When he said, "Zug tzarav arucha, zug arucha v'ktzarav," but either way, this is what Yeshua said. No one ever defeated me. Chutz mi isha tinaik, the tinaikis exhale. So just two short light ha'aris as it relates to today's daf, and then in tomorrow's daf, Yetz Hashem, we'll get into some real intense agadah. Erevin daf nun dalet is in the conversation for the most classic agadah to daf and shas. There's so much there. Afoichba, va'afoichba, dekulaba. But either way, just two short ha'aris as it relates to today's daf. So one of the subtopics of today's daf was the difference between the Yidden that lived in Yehuda and the Yidden that lived in Galil. And it seems like the Yidden that lived in Yehuda, they were more matzliach in their learning. The ones that lived in Galil, not as much. And the Gemara was searching for reasons why. And the Gemara said that Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, B'nei Yehuda, Shehekpidu al Hashoinam. The people in Yehuda, they were very makpid on their lashon, on their speech. Neskaimet Teirasam B'yad. They were matzliach. B'nei Galil, Shehekpidu al Hashoinam. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? So the Gemara clarified. The Gemara said, the Bnei Yehuda, they were daiki lishna, they were very precise, and as a result, they were able to make simanim. Because they were able to make simanim, it was easier for them to remember their learning. And therefore, the Bnei Galil, the loy daik lishni, loy misnachi lu simanim, they weren't able to make simanim, and as a result, loy niskai meteirasim biyadim. Then the Gemara gave different reasons. They learned from one Rebbe, they learned from multiple Rebbeim, they even teach Torah galu mesechta, that loy galu mesechta. But the first reason that the Gemara gave is that the people in Yehuda were more precise with their lashon, as a result, they were able to make simanim. The people in Galil were less precise with their lashon. As a result, they weren't able to make simanim. Parenthetically, who's the one that said this? Who gave this first reason to describe the difference between the Bnei Yehuda and the Bnei Galil? It was Amar Rav Yehuda. It was the Amar Rav Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe Rav. This is another Gemara where Rav emphasizes Dibur, where he emphasizes Lashon. Throughout Shas, Rav talks about Lashon. La'olam yishana adam l'talmide b'derech kitzara, afilo sichas chulim shel talmide chachamim, tzrichim talmud, magid la'adam, we're going to tell a person after he dies, even the sicha kala, shebein ish le'ishtoi, amra Rav talmud rabbeinu hakadosh, lo'isach sicha b'ktela kol yomav, Hadir Rav loy beferish it ma elam michlale it ma vikahena rabbis. There's so many Gemaras that talk about Rav and how much he felt dibur and how precise and how much and how little a person talks matters. But this is Rav. Rav said, you want to know the difference between the hatzlach of the Yidden living in the south, the Yidden living in the north? It came down to how medayik they were belishna. But what was the point in being medayik belishna? If you're medayik belishna, manichem simanim, you're able to make a simen. Meaning, it's a very important thing to make simanim. So, you know, we take for granted sometimes that in order to remember learnings, of course, you have to chazer. This is what it's all about. Through chazara, that's how a person comes to knowing learning. But chazal were big proponents of making simanim, trying to come up with tricks and different eitzes and tachpulois and strategies of how a person is going to be able to better remember his learning. And that's why Chazal in different places talk about simanim. What were the simanim of Chazal? It's the parentheses that you have in many sugyas that we always skip. Simin, Shmoyna Esrei, Vishnei Masa, Lamanu, B'davavi. These are things that we usually skip, right? Or at the very least, don't try to understand. But the emes is that these simanim are very, very important. The Aderet, who was Rabbi Shal Yerushalayim, the Aderet wrote many, many svarim. Rabbi Leo David Rabinovich to Uman. So he wrote many svarim, and one of the svarim that he wrote is a Sefer on Simanim. We've quoted it several times. Sefer Megillah Simanim. And he has a psicha to his Sefer Megillah Simanim. The purpose of the Sefer Megillah Simanim is to learn, like a sugya, almost all the Simanim in Shas. So wherever it says Simen, like in today's daf, so he explains it, the Aderet does. He goes through it and he learns it. So he has a psicha, it's a few pages long, where he talks about the value of Simanim. Quotes many Gemaras. One of the Gemaras that he quotes is Erevin Nun Gimel, the Gemara that we just mentioned. There's another Gemara tomorrow's daf, Erevin Daf Nun Dalet. But his opening comments in his psicha to his Sefer Megillah Simanim is
ha'ara on the Gemara that we learned together not that long ago. Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amri Rabbanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Rabbanan told Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asu dardiki idna lebe midrasha. There were dardiki, there were kids that came to Beis Medrash, va'amru mili, and they said Torah, da'afilu b'mei Yeshua ben Nun lo itmar kavasayo. The Torah they said was so gewaldig. They darshened something that even in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, they didn't darshan. What did they darshan? The Aleph Beis. And he started going through the entire Aleph Beis. Why? What does Aleph Beis mean? Aleph Bina. Learn Torah. What does Gimel Dalet mean? Gimel Dalim, you should do chesed. And they went on to literally explain the entire Aleph Beis with beautiful, beautiful drushes. Samach Ayin, what does that mean? I'm skipping. Simonim Aseh, you should make Simonim. Either way, one of the things that they said are critical. Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalet is Gimel Dalim do chesed. Simonim Aseh, Samach Ayin. It's literally one of the Chof Beis Oisiyas, Shabbai Mivru Shamayim Va'aretz. It's so fundamental, it's so critical to Torah that in the building blocks of the Torah, in the Aleph Beis of the Torah, we have Aleph Bina, learn, that's obvious. We have Samach Ayin. What does Samach Ayin stand for? It stands for Simonim Aseh. So says the Aderet, what's pshat? The Gemara says, Asu dardiki ha'idna lebei midrasha va'amru mili, da'afilu b'mei Yeshua benun lo itmar kavasai. They said Torah that even in the times of Yeshua benun, they didn't darshan. So we will learn Shabbos, Taf Kuftal, Ra, and Aleph. We spoke out a drasha from the Chassam Sofer, who said, Dvorim nifla madlamahoy. But either way, said the Aderet, he said, because the Gemara in Masechtes Tmura talks about all the halachas that were forgotten, b'mei evlo yishol moisha. 3,000, right? There were so many halachas, different gersois, but there were many, many halachas that were forgot. At the time that the Yidden were mourning Moshe Rabbeinu, we may ever show Moshe, nishtakhu, thousands of halachas were forgotten. So much so, they needed a Sneel ben Kenaz to come and to be machzer all this Torah, mitoich pulpulot, the Preskurov and Sefer that we always talk about. But either way, there were many, many halachas that were forgotten. Said the Aderet, had the Yidden made simonim, they wouldn't have forgotten all this learning. And being that they forgot this learning, it means they didn't make simonim. L'chayra, had they darshan the Aleph Beis, they would have gotten to Samach Ayin, and by Samach Ayin, they would have known simonim asay. Bal Karchuk, they weren't simonim asay. They didn't make simonim. Because had they made simonim, they wouldn't have forgotten the learning. So from the fact that it was nishtakhu thousands of halachas b'mayev l'shon Moshe, what does that mean? It means that osu dardiki o'idn l'bei midrash of amri mili, da'afilu b'mei yeshuim benun lo'yitmar kapasaychu. Daik be May Yeshua Benun after the Petir of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it now became the kingdom of Yeshua Benun. All these halachas were forgotten. Why were they forgotten? Must be they didn't have simanim. Why didn't they have simanim? Oh, must be they didn't darshan the Aleph Beis. But either way, it's from the tkuf of Yeshua Benun that we have the raya that these were drushes that were first said now for the first time. Because had they darshan the Aleph Beis, they would have darshan Samach Ayin. What does Samach Ayin mean? It means simanim asay, and the halachas would have never been forgotten. On the topic of making simanim and coming up with a way not to forget your learning, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the famous Yochanan Boaz, the Tiferes Yisrael, in the fourth parak of Masechtas Erevin, Erechin, not Erevin, Erechin, who says something that Omala Mikra Amrei, had he not said, this is something that us mortals would never be allowed to say. The context over there, he discusses that you find in many Mishnayos the idea of Chasurei Mechzer of Ahachi Ketani. Right, very often there was a Mishnah or a Braisa, and the Gemara asks Akasha, and then the Gemara does reconstructive surgery on the Mishnah and the Braisa. It didn't mean this, it meant that. Right, Chasurei Mechzer of Ahachi Ketani. So he said, what's this whole Chasurei Mechzer of Ahachi Ketani? So he says as follows, V'lulei de mistafina hayanirali. This is such a chiddush that you have to read it inside. Al-pi mashakasuf toisviz shili megillah daflamet beizam ad aleph. Al-kol ashoyne b'lei zimra. That if somebody learns Torah, and it's not a niggin, it's not sweet as a song, it's not a good thing. U'kamay kein amru be'ach haftalot am ad aleph. Gemara, gemara, zmarta tehei. That the Amiram sometimes treated the Gemara like it's a song. And the Gemara says that maybe it was wrong, because obviously it's a shtickl Gemara. But you see from there that there was some correlation, there was some parallel between a shtickl Gemara and a niggin. What's the pshat? So he says, Shahayu lehem, the reason is, Zemirois miyuchadim l'chol mishnah mishnah. Every single mishnah had a tune. Every single Mishnah was a niggin. And that's Gemara, Gemara, Zmarta Tehei. What, a Gemara is a niggin? Why would someone think a Gemara is a niggin? The Teretz is because they used to sing it. They would sing Mishnayos. And every single shahayu lehem zmiros miyuchadim l'chol mishno mishno l'fi anias daiti, says the Yochanan Abayas. The reason I think this was the case is k'dei l'chazek ha-mishnah b'koyach hazikaron. It was to allow people to remember, to bolster the koyach hazikaron. Midahayu shoynim ha-mishnayis ha-feh b'imei rebi. Because they were learning mishnayis ba-peh. Raketzim ha-abram with an aleph for the night. Why don't you look at a mishnah? Says the Maharaj Tzchius, you see, even in those days, they hadn't written the mishnayis yet. So this was all ba-peh. And being that it was all ba-peh, so it's easy to forget. V'al-yedei ha-nigin. But if you make it into a nigin nisker hate of Lishna de Masnisen, then you're going to be able to remember it much better. So he says like this. That's what you'll find sometimes a Mishnah. One Mishnah is making a point and he uses one word. Then you'll find another Mishnah making the same exact point and he uses a different word. What's the reason? It's all trying to use the word to back in, to fit into the song. Sometimes it rhymes better. It just stims better with the niggin. Sometimes nishna bava shenirus yaseir b'mishna zu ve'in tzarech loy mazu. Sometimes you have a zu ve'in tzarech loy mazu. So I don't understand. What is zu ve'in tzarech loy mazu? The Mishnah says something for the Gemara. You don't have to say it. And for the Gemara, you're right. Zu ve'in tzarech loy mazu. I'm saying it, but you really don't have to say it. And if you don't have to say it, then why are you saying it? You know why? It just works better with the song. And being that it works better with the song, that's why he says that's why there were chasurei machzurs v'hachik tani. That was the idea. And he says ushmar zeh, this yesai that I'm telling you, I'm skipping that a little bit. He says don't forget this yesai. Dim gam beroyv pamim unachim pninim yikarim mishinu lashon atana. Of course, this pninim yikarim. Often, beroyv panim, most times. Why the Tana picked a certain word? I'll call panim. The makom shlo yadanu tam acher. If we don't know of any other reason, nistapek asatmen betamze shu gamkem amiti ba'atzmen. This is also an emissary reason. The bottom line is every Mishnah once upon a time was another niggin. And they used to sing the Mishnayis. And because they used to sing the Mishnayis, and they knew the Mishnayis had to be sung, so they used to use certain words and poetic license, azu vein tzarech loy mezu, achsurei mechzer v'hachik tani, this word instead of that word, to fit it into the niggin. Again, this is something that the Tiferes Yisrael didn't say, we couldn't say. And he prefaces it. I mean, Tiferes Yisrael is famous for saying some chedushim. And he writes, Lule mistafina, yanir ali. Tiferes Yisrael was afraid to say this chedush. But the bottom line is, this is the chedush that he says. But again, what was the idea of turning it into making a niggin and a rhyme and chsure mechs? It was also, you should be able to remember, simanim asay. You know, we belittle simanim sometimes. But the truth is, Chazal made simanim, it's in the chaf base, it's in the aleph base. Come up with a strategy. Whether it's a niggin, whether it's a simin, but there is a concept of simanim asay. Chazor avada. Without chazor, it doesn't start. But at the same time, there is an idea of simanim asay. That's how critical it is. And this was the psicha of the Adera to his sefer Megillah Simanim. This I just mentioned the opening parrot. He doesn't mention the Tiferes Yisrael, but he mentions this pshad in the Gemara Masech the Shabbos that it's simanim asay. Regardless, that's the first aura. The second aura is, and this is classic, the Gemara said that we had a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. When the Mishnah says, Ketzin ma'abrin esha'arin, is it ma'abrin with an ayin? Or is it ma'abrin with an aleph? Rav and Shmuel, one said ma'abrin with an ayin, the other one said ma'abrin with an aleph. Who said with an ayin? Who said with an aleph? That's a mystery. And then the Gemara goes on and the Gemara continues. There's many other psukim. We have a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. One said one way, one said another way. Who said what? We don't know. Ma'aras ha-machpelah. Nimrod. Was his name Nimrod or was it Amraphel? You find Nimrod was Amraphel. One man says it was Nimrod. Why was it called Amraphel? One says Amraphel. Why was it called Nimrod? Vayokim melech chadash al-Mitzrayim. Was it literally a melech chadash? Or was it only shenes chadshuk seiretz? Again, all cases, it was Rav and Shmuel. One said one way, one said the other way. Rab Ruvein Margolis, who was the ultimate Sinai, as we spoke about this morning. But Rav Ruvein Margolis wrote a sefer, wrote many, many, many sfarim, but one of the sfarim that he wrote was called Shem Olam. And in the sefer Shem Olam, and this is in Ois Lamed Zayin, it's in also Ois Kuf Lamed Gimel, and it's in Ois Kuf Nun. He himself cross-references it from one place to the other. So he talks about this machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Vayehi b'mei Amraphel, that one in specific. It was a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. You find that Nimrod is referred to as Nimrod, and you find that Nimrod is referred to as Amraphel. So what was his real name? So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel debated it. They seem to have argued on almost everything. Whenever they are in agreement, Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Travai. But usually it's Rav says one way, Shmuel says another way. And they argued about this too.
One of them said his name was Nimrod. Everyone knows his name was Nimrod. His name was Nimrod. So why was it called Amraphel? Oh, it's an acronym. Sha'amar v'hippel Avram Avinu b'teich kivshanish. Because he said, it was his instruction, he was the king, and he was the one that said that throw Avram Avinu into the kivshanish. V'chadam Avram said, no, Amraphel. Really, his name was Amraphel. If his name was Amraphel, so why did we find him referred to in the Torah as Nimrod? Oh, v'lama nikrishmai Nimrod, shehimrid as kalo oilam kuloy ala b'machusai. Because he caused the whole world to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Reuven Margolis, I quote, Hine inyan plug tazu, this machloikis, is kechida stuma. It's like a puzzle. It's an enigma. It's a mystery. Lomad darash ha'echad shem Nimrod, the hasheni ha'shem Amraphel. What's this machloikis? Now his real name was Nimrod, he was called Amraphel. His real name was Amraphel, but he was called Nimrod. See, he says that I'm going to tell you something fascinating. You find a machloikis like this machloikis between Rav and Shmuel in four other places in Shas. The Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Membezam and Aleph is discussing Arpa, Rus and Arpa, as in Nami's daughter-in-law Arpa. And the Pasuk in Rus refers to as Arpa, Ayin Reish Pehe. Stating that, there's another Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, where the Pasuk refers to as Harafa, Hey Reish Pehe. And the Gemara says, what was her name? Was it Arpa? Was it Harafa? Zok the Gemara, Machlek is Ram and Shmuel. Chadama one said Harafa Shma. V'lama nikshma Arpa v'chul. V'chadama Arpa Shma. V'lama nikshma Harafa v'chul. The Gemara over there also, in Masech Tesoite Daf Membeis, discusses Shoivach. So Shoivach was someone that the Yidin had a defeat. He was one of the monsters that went up against the Yidin. And there's two psukim. One pasuk refers to him as Shoivach with a vase. There's another pasuk that refers to him as Shoivach with a fey. So the said, what was his name? Was it Shoivach or was it Shoifach? Rav Shmuel. Chadama once said Shoifach Shmai. V'lama nikrishma Shoivach v'chulu. V'chadama Shoivach Shmai. V'lama nikrishma Shoivach v'chulu. Another Gemara. But v'basra daf tzadik aleph on the base. The Gemara over there is talking about machloin v'kilyoin, as in Nami's sons-in-law. Machloin, sons. Machloin v'kilyoin. The Gemara says, but there's another pasuk that refers to them as Yoyosh and Saraf. So who are they? Were they Machloin v'kilyoin or were they Yoyosh and Saraf? Again, Rav and Shmuel. Chadama one said Machloin v'kilyoin shman. V'lam v'nikishman Yoyosh v'saraf v'chulu. V'chadama, the other one said Yoyosh v'saraf shman. V'lam v'nikishman Machloin v'kilyoin v'chulu. Another Gemara. Sanhedrin daf mem dalet amud beis. The Gemara is talking about Achan. Achan was the one person that had hanah from the spoils of Yericha. He wasn't supposed to. So we know Chata Achan, right? Chata Yisrael, because of one person, Achan. Kol Yisrael and Ravens, but Achan was the one that did the Aver. But there's another pasuk that refers to the same Achan as Zimri. So when I said, who was he? Was his name Achan or was it Zimri? What was his real identity? Rav Shmuel, Zmachlik, Eschadama one said Achan Shmai, V'lama Nikrishma Zimri V'chulu, V'chadama Zimri Shmai, V'lama Nikrishma Achan V'chulu. Either way, says Rav Reuven Margolis, this is hard to believe. Rav and Shmuel five times had the same exact Machlikas. They argued regarding Nimrod and Amraphel. What's his real name? Is it Arpa or is it Harafa? Was it Shoivach or was it Shoifach? Was it Machlin V'kilyoin or was it Yayosh V'saraf? Was it Achan or was it Zimri? Five times, Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar this way, and Chad Amar said that way. So he said, it's a chidah stuma. What's going on over here? Rav and Shmuel, they're debating, holchem b'mamon acharoid, ain't holchem b'mamon acharoid. Right, they're getting involved in the most intense sugis in Shas. Over here, we have five names. I don't know. One said this way, one said that way. He said, the hey, Rashem Eina. He says, the Eibishter opened up my eyes, and he said, I had a rayon, I had a mitzia noira, and he says, I'm going to tell you what I think is emeslam mitoy. And that is, if you look at all five of these situations where Rav and Shmuel argued about the two names, in all five of the cases, one of the two names is mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, and the other one is mentioned in one of the other Sifrei Tanakh. Working backwards, Achan is mentioned in Yeshua Perek Zayin, Zimri is in Divrei Hayomim. Machlin V'Kilyon, that's what they're referred to in Rus, Perek Gimel, that's when we know them as Machlin V'Kilyon. In Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Dalet, they're referred to as Yoyosh and Saraf. It's Shoivach in Shmuel Beis. It's Shoifach in Divrei Hayomim Aleph. It's Arpa in Rus Aleph. That's when we know about Arpa. It's Harafa in Divrei Hayomim. It's Amraphel in Bereshis. Now, truth, Nimrod is referred to as Nimrod in Bereshis as well. But in Divrei Hayomim, he's only referred to as Nimrod, and he's not referred to as Amraphel. So in all five of these situations, one of the names were mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, and the other one was mentioned in one of the other Sfarim. So he says, I found the Medrash in two places, the same exact Medrash in two different places. One is in Vayikra Rabbah, and the other one is in a Rus Rabbah. Zog the Medrash. Zomar Rab Simon b'shem Rab Yeshua ben Levi. V'Rab Chia Avua de Rab Hishaya
B'shem Rav, loy nitein divrei hayamim elu l'drasha. Divrei hayamim was given l'drasha. And he gave an example of it. The example is, v'ishtoy hayehudiyah, yolda es yered avigdor. Says Rav, in Vayikra Rabba, v'ishtoy hayehudiyah zuyay chefet. She's referring to Yechav, v'lamani k'shma yehudiyah, v'chu. Who did she give birth to? Yered. Who is Yered? Zem Moshe. V'lominikushma Yered, because he was the one that caused the month to come down. It's either way. Rav said, this is Rav. Rav Sima b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi. Rav Chi Avud Rav Ishaya b'shem Rav. Loi nitein divrei ayamim elo v'drosho. So said Rav Ruvim Argolis, it's pasha to me. It's pasha to me. It's emes lamitai. L'chayra. That Rav, who has a klal, that divrei ayamim is always l'drosho. So all the names that were mentioned in divrei ayamim, all those names, those are the drashas. Those are not the real names. The real names are the ones that are mentioned in the other svarim. It's all the divrei hayomim names. So go through all five. And he says, the Gemara said, Rav and Shmuel, chadama, chadama. And the Gemara wasn't megalit to us. Who said what? Which one was Rav? Which one was Shmuel? The Heir Hashem Einai. He says, the Eibishter opened up my eyes, and I think it's MS, and I think that, you know who said what? I think that Rav was the one that said that the real name is the name that's not mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, and it's the one that's Divrei Hayamim. He says, how do I know that? How do I know that? Because that's Rav. Lo nitein Divrei Hayamim elo l'drasha. You ready for a punchline? Says Rav Ruvein Margolis, and now I'm skipping. To Ois Kuf Lame Gimel. This is still all in the Sefer of Shem Oilam. He says, if you go look at the Gemara in Masechtas Sota Daf Mem Beis, where the Gemara asks the Stira, Ksiv Shoivach, Visiv Shoifach. Here it says it with a vase, here it says it with a fe. So Rav and Shmuel, one said Shoifach Shmoy, and another said Shoivach Shmoy. Zokta Hilger Rashi. Dibur HaMaskel, Ksiv Shoivach. Ready? Rashi says two words. Besefer Shmuel. Next. Dibur HaMaskel, Shoifach. Zokta Hilger Rashi. Bedivri Ayomim. Freak Rav Ruvi Margolis. You know how many psukim I mentioned in the Gemara? When does Rashi tell you where the pasuk is? Ksiv shoyvach b'sefer Shmuel. Ksiv shoyvach b'divrei hayamim. Why in the world would Rashi tell this to me? I don't know. Imagine every agada to Gemara, Rashi would sit and he would tell you where all the psukim. This is in Yecheskel. This is in Yirmiyahu. This is in Amos. This is in. We never get all. Rashi never does that. It's loy kedarka. Rashi does it sometimes, but whenever Rashi does it, there has to be a pshat. But it's almost not shaykh that Rashi should do something like this. Take a look at the Gemara that talks about machloim v'kilyoin. So machloim v'kilyoin says, "Ok, the Hilger Rashi machloim v'kilyoin." Dibra, where is that? Dibra, maske yoyish v'sarav. Rashi says again two words. B'divrei hayamim. This is what's going on over here. Shoyfach is b'divrei hayamim. Yoyish v'sarav is b'divrei hayamim. The Torah says Rashi was coming to answer the question. Rashi was coming to explain what's going on over here. You want to know why there's a machloikis, Rav and Shmuel? This is the essence of the machloikis. The essence of the machloikis is a question of one pasuk is in Divrei Hayamim, the other pasuk is not in Divrei Hayamim, and there's an idea Divrei Hayamim was niten l'drasha, and who is the one that darsh in Divrei Hayamim? We know Rav darsh in Divrei Hayamim. So if Rav's the one that darsh in Divrei Hayamim, it's yitachin that's probably the way it is. Incidentally, the Sefer Shem Oilam is literally, it's all al derech zeh. It's just these fascinating pisroinos. Literally, it's like the answers to these very, very complicated riddles that he uncut. It's super ga'onis, Rav Ruvi Margolis. There's a one-page introduction to the Sefer Shem Oilam. They bring a haskama from Reb Chaim Elazar Shapiro, the Hilge Minchas Elazar. So he writes a Giyani Sifrei Shem Oilam. He wrote this, Kvoy Yikras HaRav HaGoyin Rav Ruvin Margolis. This is a letter from the Minchas Elazar to Rav Ruvin Margolis. He says, a Giyani Sifrei Shem Oilam, ube'emes hu chibur nifla v'shem oilam u l'seferes, ki b'mekoy meiz rabbeis nire shekivan amitas das atanom v'amirom z'chusen yogam aleinu v'shitasim. That's a heavy haskama. But this was the haskama that the Minchas Elazar gave, because that's really the whole feel of the Sefer. This is what Rav Ruvi Margolis' agenda is. U'be'emes u'chibur nifla, ki b'mekoy meiz rabbeis nire shekivan amitas das atanom. A haskama from the Minchas Elazar to Rav Ruvi Margolis' Sefer. But either way, so l'fizeh comes out that what was the Iker name? It's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Was it Nimrod or was it Amraphel? Amraphel is the name that's mentioned in Parashas Lech Lecha. Nimrod is the name that's also mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. So if that's the case, if Rav is the one that always darshins Divrei Hayamim, so it comes out Rav is going to hold his Iker name was Amraphel. The drasha is going to be the name Nimrod, because Divrei Hayamim, which is where it mentions Nimrod, that's all the drasha. Divrei Hayamim is all the drasha. Shmuel is going to hold that the real name was Nimrod. Could be there's a nafgamina. I saw the Teres Chaim on this Gemara says that what difference does it make if his name was Nimrod or his name was Amraphel? Does it really matter? He says, yeah, I think there's a nafgamina, because we know the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, Shem Risham Yirkov, that you're not supposed to give the name of a rasha. So he says, is somebody allowed to give the name Nimrod? Is someone allowed to give the name Amraphel? It really matters. If Nimrod's name was Nimrod, then you can't give the name Nimrod. If his name was Amraphel, they just called him Nimrod for whatever Siba, then there's no Isser. It's not going to fall into Shem Risham Yirkov. This is from the Torah's Chaim, Akadmoy. This is what he said. It's going to come out of Nafgamina. Now, if it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, so what's the rule? We paskin like Rav. One more klali ashas. So what's the halacha if it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel? We paskin like Shmuel when it comes to dine mamonos. But otherwise, if it's not dine mamonos, we paskin like Rav. This is obviously a question of shemos. Not even shemos hagitin. This is just shemos. Could you give the name or not give this? It's a question for a rebbe. So over here, we zikha with paskin like Rav. It's not a question of dine mamonos. This is a question of isa v'heter. And if that's the case, if Rav Reuben Margolin was mechavin la'mita sadvarim v'asher heirenai. So what was Nimrod's real name? His real name was Amraphel. If that's the case, you could give the name Nimrod. But the point is that as it relates to Shem Risham Yirkov, the name Nimrod is not really Shem Risham Yirkov based on this Rav Reuven Margolis and this Teres Chaim.